The iRadio and Fire Up are proud to present a glittering new season celebrating the barbaric ballet that we call Rugby League.
You must feel pretty confident with that additional bulk he's put on. Now watch the defence, it'll be fairly violent, I would imagine.
And now the gladiators
hobble, aren't he, with the left forearm. It was as nasty as we've seen for a long time.
A little bit out of character, he's a very clean player.
And Manly slumped to eighth on the ladder.
It's just rubbing salt into the wound.
You can see the head crash there.
Oh, very nasty.
The crowd love it. They've all taken the angry pill. This smashes him to ground. The one-handed pass back inside.
With a delicate kick.
And he smacked their bottoms with a beautiful bit of football early.
Thank you, Mrs. Robinson.
Another little slanging match.
He's only 5 metres from the line.
And he's hurt on the bird.
He runs into a wall.
Certainly got some forearm in it for some damage done to him with a boot or a knee. But my heavens, he's really bleeding.
He's come out of it very much the worse for wear.
Bleeding like a stuck pig out there.
And the crowd starting to go wild.
Intercepted. Shows it. Goes outside. Steps again. Steps again. He gets it down. It is a try.
Yes, it's a try. It's a sad, sad commentary on the mentality of some of the idiots that follow Australian sport.
Now, please welcome your muscle-bound maestro, Stephen Ferris and
Chris Gayle.
As they fire up.
Wednesday night football should be a great game. And straight away they go from their in-goal area back to the 10 through Blair. They've lost the ball. Picked up, Parramatta score. They're in to score a try. They'll have a look at it, I'm sure.
Fastest try ever, and what would be a glorious moment in rugby league if it wasn't for the fact that Ray Hadley was calling that particular moment. Good morning, Jack Shit.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm very well, Stephen. Very
lovely
well
to have you here. It's been a long while. It's been what have you done wrong? Hey, that's what I want to know.
It's a long story.
What is the Newcastle thing?
It could be.
Could be.
We've got to keep that secret.
Chris Gayle.
Was it Gurdjieff who says it's impossible to achieve the aim without suffering, Stephen? Because I'm suffering at the moment. I'm putting myself through pain. I saw the Wallabies last week. I'm seeing the Swans tomorrow. Purely to stare into the abyss and see what's right with the world, and what's right with the world is the Tigers out at Campbelltown tonight.
Simon, you know, you've got a medical degree. I know you've got a history in psychology and psychiatry, etc. I've often said, just to keep him happy, we call him a polymath, meaning he has interest in many things and a great amount of detail too. But there's something a little off about the man, isn't there? Don't you think?
A little.
He has to be in everything. He cannot say no.
It is really weird. Is that, there's not enough sport in this person's life in the code that matters. You've seriously got to go and watch that game.
Purely to appreciate how great the game of rugby league is, I want to comment.
You can know this. You can know this objectively, Chris.
No, you, Simon. Sorry, Jackson. You have to be live to really feel the discomfort, the disquiet.
Right. I do enjoy that.
Luxuriate in league.
So it's more about observing the pain of the fans of other codes.
He just said luxuriate in league. He didn't say pain. I want to get a T-shirt that says luxuriate in league. If only we get this new stadia.
Wouldn't that be a good new fragrance? Wouldn't that be a great fragrance? League.
Luxuriate in league.
That'd be just wonderful.
Dave Ray will do the voiceover. Now, sitting in front of me here during Fire Up, and I think we need to say that word fire up over and over again, Chris, given we're being attacked on all fronts, aren't we?
Constantly being misappropriated and no royalties flowing to this great radio station.
Who would have thought after 12 years we have to keep pushing our point?
And the hosts.
Yes. Now, West Tigers fan, as our listeners know, and we're not going to talk about the West Tigers today. We're sick to death of them. But Jack Shit, Newcastle, diehard tragic. And let me just say,
hey, West are my second team.
There you go.
Okay, that's the last we're going to hear about West Tigers.
I'd like to hear more about
unless
it.
Unless you want to talk about Robbie Farrell later. But what I want to say is that you guys sort of really reflect a certain aspect. Well, there is a zeitgeist. The world is going through troubled times, challenging times.
Definitely.
I think we all agree upon that. We're being attacked on all fronts from people who want to sort of maim and kill to those who just want to basically take away our freedoms and rights, etc., etc. And if I could say to you, Melbourne represent to me the essence of China.
Oh, is that right?
A complete takeover is all they're after.
Right, nothing... sort of a, like a command economy, just like stability at any cost.
Stability, you'd like to call it, would you? Chinese stability, I like that.
Annexing the world.
Annexing the world. That, to me, is the ethos of Bellamy and Melbourne and the Prince of Darkness, Cameron Smith himself, you know. I would say that always the Roosters try to come across as charming, but really they're just Tories in red, white and blue. You know, they're like the Conservative government in England at the moment,
sure.
You know.
Sure.
And they will clamp down on anybody who does not want to come under their, you know, understanding of the
world. 19th century colonialism is really the philosophy of the Sydney Roosters.
Exactly. Now, you know, Cronulla, for example, might represent the American Deep South, the new sentiment that is Trump America.
Hello, Charlottesville.
You know what I'm saying here. But having said that, I would like to put West Tigers and Newcastle perhaps in the arena of somewhere like Scotland, you know, big-hearted warrior types who basically fought but lost.
This is fair and fine by me.
Now, do you have any version on the zeitgeist of where West Tigers and or Newcastle might fit into this world scheme or this world picture?
Yeah, I mean, I see the West Tigers a bit like the Falkland Islands.
The Falklands.
I see.
Two formerly interesting and semi-powerful clubs, i.e. Western Balmain, fighting over a nugatory territory. And,
yes.
And until we establish a better identity in the Falklands, our club will never succeed.
Right. And Newcastle, of course, we all know that they've suffered under many challenges. Tinkler, Bennett.
Yes.
And Nathan Brown. Everyone seems to like Nathan Brown.
Yeah, look, you know, he, I don't know how it happened. Mm. It didn't seem like a good idea at the time, but somehow I think his very consistency, you know, his affable humility seems to have gotten everyone on side.
Yeah.
Players, fans.
Is this the rise of the ex-St. George players becoming coaches on the brink
You'd
of
You'd like
success?
To think so, I'd wouldn't like you, Stephen? So,
yeah. There's a great acceptance of defeat around Nathan Brown. The 96 grand final, his coaching stint at St. George, his coaching stint at Newcastle. I tend to think of Newcastle as those sort of Micronesian islands that are victims of climate change. As the sea inevitably rises and Greenland melts,
yes,
they might just eventually disappear
right.
from
so
here.
Canary
come on, we're safe. It's the Sydney clubs
West
that are
Newcastle
in trouble, fella.
Yes, we're going to Perth. And can I say, if West, according to the Telegraph, the Astonisher, we're going to be relocated to Perth, I'm prepared to go on
West
record.
West Tigers are.
West Tigers.
Yes.
And the punters want them to go. That's the club that's supposed to go. I am prepared to say that I will fly to every home game at Perth with pleasure.
So like the canary in the coal mine, if Newcastle goes, we're in trouble, right?
That's
right.
100%.
100%.
That's why we've got to shore them up. We've got to sandbag them up, and West Newcastle
that's
is
right.
doing
so
that
So can
for
we
you.
Transfer that statement that says, when Newcastle are doing well, rugby league's in great hands, right?
Hello, South Sydney.
Hello, South Sydney. You will get to them in a minute. Look, we love a good Oxford Street story, you know. People have misunderstood Oxford Street for many years, and poor old Oxford Street now misunderstands itself, I think. There's not much... It's a ghost of its previous
That's
glory.
That's right. It's been a long time since we've even had an Oxford Street story.
Now, Jack, you know, you are there every week working in Oxford Street. I know that.
Yeah, every
you
day.
You see it. You see the losses, the ghosts, the sad faces. But they fought back. It fought back last week, and it was a rugby league story. Drag queens fighting back, correct?
Well, yes. It hit the news last week courtesy of a victim of crime.
Yes.
Who was king hit in a kebab shop. He'd been to Stonewall, and some people cast homophobic slurs at this man in like proximity to said fated club.
Before you go any further, why was that not front page? King hit in a kebab shop.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
How did they miss that one?
It's alliterative.
So far, only Andrew Webster seems to have used that term, and that's in the Herald about 3 days after News Limited published the story.
A big loss
that's always the way, isn't it? Fairfax is days behind.
He was a big loss to the terror then, wasn't he?
There he was.
Yeah. So it's hard to say. I don't know. Maybe technically... look, the weird thing about the story is the police are sort of looking into it. You know, there was no detail on the people had been arrested. They arrived and people were still scrapping
arrested
as far as
charged?
I could tell. No, there's no mention of,
no mention.
Like, you know, the police were said to be looking at whether or not it was a homophobic incident.
Yes.
It was a violent incident, so case closed. Like, I would have thought that'd be enough. But this fellow, this relatively slight fellow who was the subject of the slights and then hit in the jaw, dislocated his jaw.
I love that. Slight fellow.
Yes.
Victim of slights.
It happened. And three drag queens happened by
three
at this exact moment. And
is there a phrase for that? A gaggle?
A gaggle sounds about right to me.
Front row of drag queens.
Front row of drag queens.
Well, yeah. Happily, one of them happens to have a history in this great code of league.
Wow.
And that's Coco, to be specific.
Coco.
And they did not like the cut of the jib,
yes,
of these rat bags,
yes,
casting these aspersions,
yes,
and actual fists on top of a fellow citizen,
yep,
in the community,
yep,
right there on their sacred strip.
Yes.
So they took it upon themselves, yeah, to pick them up and throw them in the
gutter. To dispense justice.
Yes. And, I mean, this spread, they threw one guy in the gutter.
Yes.
It spread into the middle of the street. Actually, the exact way it began, it was the little fellow said, "Dude, don't ever use the word faggot, and especially not on Oxford Street of all places."
Fair enough.
The guys that were harassing them turned to the drag queens and called them a freak.
Whoa.
Coco, I believe, said, "I am a freak. I'm one of the freaks of Oxford Street. Now get out of this shop."
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
And
Coco got a freak on.
"If you want to pick on little guys, yeah, you'll need to fight the big freak. I'm a man under all of this, so let's go."
Right.
And it was on for, yeah, young and old. Absolutely smashed. In the end, these big burly guys couldn't even throw a punch. All they could do was pull hair and run.
Right, so if they remade Priscilla, that would be a new scene added.
I hope
Stefan
so.
Elliott, get on board. That's a great scene.
Pull hair and run, it sounds like Canberra, doesn't it? Well,
yeah.
There's Canberra a GoFundMe raiders page, yes, that was set up for the drag queens specifically to replace their wigs, nails and heels.
Yeah, telling me something glorious.
It was a $1,000 target.
Yes.
It was at $5,000 on the day this, yeah, story was, yeah, published. Currently, it's just shy of 10, so if anyone wants to
take me through
in
the damage, though. You're talking fingernails here, are we?
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking fingernails.
That's $5,000 right there.
Yeah.
Damaged wigs.
Another $5,000.
Yeah, makeup needs to be replaced.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. And heels.
Costume damage.
Heels. I mean, exponential.
Nice. I mean, if people wish to contribute, they probably should continue because $10,000 is a drop in the ocean
it
compared
is
to the expenditure.
For one drag queen, let alone three.
The trouble for the police, of course, is none of this is captured on CCTV footage because they haven't had CCTV footage in Oxford Street for about 3 years now because there's nothing to observe.
Nothing to observe, no.
But it's great to see rugby league back in Oxford Street because really all we had to talk about in recent times was Jimmy the Jet saying, "I've got more speed than on Oxford Street." Talking about it era from many, many, many years ago. Yeah.
How far has he travelled? The Gold Coast and that's it, right?
That's right.
Now, you would remember in fringe festivals in days gone by, there used to be the famous drag race down,
yes,
at Bondi Beach.
Yes.
I think it was...
whatever happened to that?
Exactly. Now, I'm thinking...
Everyone's moved to Newtown.
Yeah. I would assume Waverley Council happened to that. That's what I heard.
Mayor Sally Betts. She's got other priorities, right, like convicted, okay, straight rapists.
Hey, I think we've got a phone call from London.
Hold up. Oh.
Hey? Not yet. Coming soon. We've got our league expert in London calling. Just a moment. Now, this drag race, which was so popular at Bondi Beach, I think Vanessa Wagner was the hostess,
yeah,
with the mostess,
fantastic,
and high heels on sand.
Wonderful.
I mean, really... You couldn't do that, Simon. You couldn't do that, Chris.
I miss the Jamie and Vanessa parties, can I just say?
Yes.
I really, really enjoy those.
Now, but we here...
Like half of the community, I think, that, you know, people just moved up north.
Yes,
they're probably Byron, doing it on Byron Beach.
The Tweeds region, yes.
Yeah.
Look, we luxuriate in league. We really do. And one of the great ideas, which wasn't ours, unfortunately, we're here to sell this idea of the baby race that we mentioned.
Mm.
Right. I mean, we don't have all the great ideas, but we will have to investigate that fragrance, you know, Christian Dior or whoever's out there. But the baby race went down, Stephen, halftime between Souths and Warriors last,
yes,
Friday night at a very sparsely populated ANZ stadium.
Right. Tell us more about it.
So, five babies were expected at the starting gun. Unfortunately, one of them withdrew with a bad case of croup. So we only got four. It was a 7-metre, jack sheet, a 7-metre course. Red and green in South's colours. All babies in rabbit's jumpsuits.
What was the lure at the other end?
A parent? Holding a rattle.
Chris, can I hold you just there for a second?
You can.
I think, Brendan Cowell, are you there? Hello, Brendan? Brendan Cowell, are you there? No, he's not there. We'll have to find out later.
He's probably keeled over hearing about the baby race and want to know how I could get some action.
He's dropped out.
The race continued to be a nightmare for ASADA because they were given too many urine samples,
mm-hmm,
from the babies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not normally the problem they've got, mm, where people get stage fright.
Mm.
These babies were providing wee all over the course, yes, before, during,
well,
and after the race.
It's a slip and slide, I guess.
Yes.
And the really, really interesting thing, of course, that, as we expected, Shane Richardson gave a contract to the baby that was first over the line.
Mm.
So Souths are really pushing talent identification limits.
How many babies in each race, roughly?
Giving Easton run for their money there.
Well, there were five, but only four made it to the starting gun. You know, as I said, one of the babies was scratched due to a bad
case
of
flu. But in a perfect race, you'd have eight lanes, correct?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, the thing about South is that they don't want to push babies who aren't up to it.
Right.
So they had to go through a very intensive media training thing so that they felt comfortable under the spotlight.
Yeah.
The wasted money, though, was how would the babies react to a crowd? Because it ended up being South versus Warriors. There was no crowd for the babies to react to.
All that media training down there.
It was wasted. And you could get a bet on, which I think is really, really important because, let's face it, the cornerstone of rugby league is betting these days because we've got nothing left. Tobacco's gone. No. Alcohol's on the way out.
Pokies.
Yeah, well, it's long gone.
So, we've done some research, haven't we?
Well, we have heard that...
Jack, we've gone deeper and found out that there's a dark story to this. You mentioned, I think, Logan's Run, I think. I think there was Soylent Green stories floating
around. For those who remember the movie Logan's Run, which was probably appropriated from some other property that I'm not aware of. I had a friend, by the way, who was at a trivia night last night, and the host said, we've now got a skiffy question for you. And everybody said, what's the skiffy question? Of course, it was sci-fi. She wasn't the most educated.
Never heard that before.
At least it wasn't a stiffy.
So no. Logan's Run, which starred Michael York and Jenny Agutter, I'll just say that again, Jenny Agutter, was basically a system where society realised with limited resources, hang on, that sounds a bit familiar, changing climate, the human the human footprint
growing larger,
hang
on,
that you can't really recycle humans, so you eliminate them.
Right.
So at the age of 30, you went into this sort of ceremony. It was like like that ride at Luna Park where the Astro Spin, you stood upright and then you got tilted up and the bodies would levitate and go straight into the kiln.
Well, it's lucky that Russell Crowe is so, across cinema history and at the same time such a visionary, because what we've discovered is he's more about a recycling, a sustainable future.
Yeah. That's right.
Using the limited resources that currently
have. Anybody watches their documents will know the world is over. Populated stuff.
That's right.
That we are the curse. We are the stain on the planet at the moment. And Russell's at the front of this, isn't he?
So I guess if Logan's Run is true, and we only got if the future means we can only live to 30, that probably means you have to push rugby league to younger and younger participants.
Yes.
So I think the baby races, it's the start of something.
Right.
I would imagine that the NRL, the average age of an NRL player, come 2050, will be about 6.
Yeah, so we discovered that there's a certain cruel streak to South Sydney. Now, allegedly, they're reusing the failed babies. Those that aren't fast enough, that don't make the cut, make another cut.
Protein shakes.
Right.
Excuse me?
Yeah, Logan's Run. Des Hasler. Soylent Green style, yeah.
he thought of it a long time ago. He never put it into practice. Even Des drew the line there.
Let's hope this one doesn't get out into the mainstream media because all hell will break loose.
Well, Jared Hayne famously said that the media are liars, and I suppose we're in their bracket, right?
That is true. They don't tell the truth, do they?
So we're going to do some more research. We're going to get Tracy Grimshaw into this and find out what happens to the losing babies, a la the greyhound industry.
Look, talk about the latest version of the disappeared.
Yeah. We'll be back in a moment. Fire up with Jack Shit and Chris Gale.
Fire up!
Fire up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Fire up!
Fire up!
Ready to go!
Ready to go!
Amos keep walking cheetah with a hat full of runaway son of the nuclear A-bomb. I am the world's forgotten boy, the one who searches and destroys. Honey, gotta help me, please. Somebody gotta save my soul. Baby, detonate for me. Oh!
Feels good.
Feels good.
Sounds good.
Back in Fire Up here, 9:26. We are trying to manage the phone lines. Brendan Cowell is calling in and we're just trying to get him online. Brendan, are you there? I'm not hearing Brendan. I'm not hearing him. I'm not hearing him. And I'm not hearing him. Hello, Brendan.
It's the best I've ever heard Brendan sound.
I know. Technology. Calling any producers that can help me, please, please. We are on Fire Up. We are community radio. We've been doing this since 2005. You think we'd get this right by now, wouldn't you, Chris? Yeah. Particularly with the millions throwing through our coffers right now.
Well, this is why we need to be more vigorous and vigilant about the infraction of our intellectual property of the term Fire Up, Stephen, because it's getting out of control. I mean, we played the audio last week of Brian Fletcher, of all people, and he's not short of a dollar. Look, exploiting our idea on cable television.
We run out. Our line of Atrocity coffee mugs sold out years ago, so there's no more income from that.
That's right.
The T-shirts are gone.
T-shirts are gone. We've been meaning to do something new. I mean, the league fragrance will bring in some income, but it's going to take a few years to do the research.
Strangely enough, though, we were invited as part of an exercise in the media called the Fourth Estate, the University of Rugby League, courtesy of the Newtown Jets the other day. I think really just as light relief. Would that be right, Chris?
It was. It was actually, we were referred to as the halftime entertainment,
which
is generally like baby races and speed dating affairs and somebody hilariously trying to catch a football that's punted high in the air. That's
right, the Falcons.
So essentially what happened is we went live doing a little cut-down version of our show and everybody went to the bar and the toilet.
And damn that Dennis Carnahan. How can you follow Dennis Carnahan?
Well, you can't follow Dennis Carnahan. You might have to actually suck it up, Stephen, and come and see him live every Monday of September at his Mad Monday Rugby League the Musical at the Bridge Hotel.
What exactly am I sucking up? My pride? What some sort of, is it tradition now that I cannot see it?
It's the crushing realization that he's much funnier than we are. That really upsets me.
A better scriptwriter and better songs.
That's right. Well,
now at this Fourth Estate, we had an inglorious exit, didn't we?
We were asked to leave the venue because we had the temerity to make fun of Ricky Stewart. And let me tell you, if there's one thing that we've learned about the rugby league media when they're in, and because we can't talk in any detail about what happened at the evening, because there is a convention called Chatham House Rules. We can't talk specifics. But if there's a general impression I took away...
Can I just quote somebody?
Yeah.
He is the most pig-headed and the most ungrateful person I've ever known in football. It's as simple as that.
Simple as that. And that seemed to be the tone of the evening.
No. The point is the rugby league media all universally adore Ricky Stewart.
They love Ricky.
And the likes of your Masoods, your Samsons, Prasenkos, Walters, Hugheses, Smiths that were there just were falling over each other to tell a positive story about Ricky Stewart. And then when we just made that very, very mild remark about he was formerly the game's greatest thinker, then the thinker, and now just Ricky Stewart, shown the door.
Security.
Yeah, gone. Yeah. We're out.
Big burly guys in tuxedos, straight
out
the door.
That's enough. Penisham RSL doesn't want your kind in here.
He's much loved, but there was a sort of an underlying theme that perhaps he's not as house-trained as he could be.
Yeah, well, there was some suggestion.
Suggestion that perhaps he plays by his own rules.
Look, he has opinions. He's entitled. It's a democracy.
It is a democracy, and only true leaders can stand up for their own opinions and really not worry about what other people think about them. He might be there now. Oh, hang on. What's happening?
We might be able to speak to Brendan.
Brendan, are you there? I'm waiting. I've got the microphone up. Telephone's up. Everything's up. Where is he? What's going on? Producers these days, pay him a fortune.
I don't want to get paranoid about this,
but
we're talking about the rapidly changing world, the world in which a try can be scored in 12.88 seconds.
Brendan, we have Brendan.
Coming at you live.
Live from where, Brendan?
Notting Hill, mate.
Notting Hill.
I'm a rugby league and Hugh Grant.
And you're just a guy standing in front of a girl asking her to love him, right?
I'm a man standing in front of a hane asking
for what
direction does the plane fly?
Does the plane fly? Well, he's the stain now. And Andrew Webster famously said, "You've been haned." He's now a verb. If you've done somebody over, you've been haned.
Isn't that great? I mean, we used to be famous for such verbs as glassed. We invented those to glass someone, and now we've been haned. People say rugby league world is not intelligent. Look at this.
Now, I've got a couple of phrases. You're a man of words, Brendan. We've got a few phrases I'd like to throw at you. Some of the great cliches that I'd like to put forward to you, where the background and what the hell does it mean? And you've got Jack Shit sitting in the studio as well.
Hello.
Chris Gale.
Hi, Jack.
Hello.
G'day, Brendan. How you doing, mate?
Barnstorming, Brendan. Barnstorming. What does that mean?
I think that was a term invented by a current of weather that swept across a gig that was being played by Split Enz in the 80s.
Right, okay.
Because it always, to me, like, isn't it, you don't normally storm the farmers. The farmers are generally the ones with the pitchforks chasing Frankenstein's monster, aren't they? So it seems odd that you actually storm the barn. You seem to vacate the barn in order to... wreak havoc.
Yes.
It reminds me of Paul Sirenin. Like when you say the word, I think Paul Sirenin, I think Tal Malolo.
Yes, yes.
And I think of Bourbon. And, you know, it's a beautiful term now, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Brendan, you be aware that the Tigers have lost Curtis Sirenin across to Manly Warringah, but the exciting news out at Campbelltown tonight is Bailey Sirenin is making his first class debut. So the Sirenin legacy lives on.
Who's that?
I don't know whether Bailey's can...
Apparently there's another 12 or 13 Burgess as well.
I was
at Heathrow on the weekend,
yes.
And I saw like six of them. Russell was there, and he was like, just put them in one of those kind of seal-pack bags. So there's a few... more coming as well. And more Burgess, more Sirenin.
And the chickens were quivering, weren't they, Brendan? Because they each eat four chickens at a sitting.
Exactly.
Yeah, just like the barns are quivering when they see the Sirenins, right?
That's right.
Now, leaking points. Last night, Brisbane leaked points. What is leaking points? How do you leak points?
Well, I guess it's when you lose a game, but it's not your fault.
Yes. I love it.
Because... the points didn't come out of the fact that, you know, you didn't know there were holes in the ship. You just took the ship out to sea, turned it on, drove
it
forward.
Exactly.
And you can go back to head office and go, who's in charge of maintenance? And why didn't we have any silly super filler?
Exactly. It was just licking at
It's Dunkirk. It's Dunkirk.
I always think coaches come...
It's all done.
I always think coaches come up with the expression leaking points because it trivialises what they've got to do to solve the defensive problems. You know, so if it's just a leak, we can patch that up readily by next week.
Yeah, yeah.
If we've got a massive hole in the side of the ship, Belgrano style, we're in trouble.
Brendan.
Absolutely.
Have you...
There's got to be a massive concern if Parramatta can be in the top four. I mean, they're useless.
Our regular producer, Bronco Reg, hasn't been sighted this morning, Brendan, and we actually should put out an APB if anyone's seen him, because things are grim up north.
That's why we couldn't get you up on the phone, mate.
That's right.
Oh, my Lord. I mean, if Parramatta, I mean, they're not a rugby league team. None of them look like rugby league. I don't think any of them have played rugby league until this year. They were just blokes that they found on the M4 working at Subway going, mate, we've run out. Can you come in? And all of a sudden people are like, these guys are unorthodox, aren't they? What are they doing?
Brendan, I've got a question for you. You are the representative for Cronulla Sutherland. Now, have you learnt to count to 50
yet? What's that one?
Have you learnt to count to 50 yet?
What's 50?
50. 50 years. You were celebrating 50 years last night when it was 49.
Oh, is that a number?
Yeah, number.
Oh, yeah, no, clearly not. No, I mean, we peaked the year too early.
Yes,
this would have been the year that we should have won it, wasn't
exactly.
It? Wouldn't that have looked better on the T-shirt?
Yes.
Even when you win...
a little early.
Even when you win, you can't get it right. That's the thing about the Sharks. What's life like, though, for you now, post that first win? How's food tasting? Better?
A lot better, yeah. I mean, you just walk around and your taste buds are like, I'm premiership taste buds. I'm premier taste buds. And, you know, it's like, you know, when you're like single and you're really keen on girls and you look at them like you're going to kill them. And then when you've got a premiership, you're like, I can do without. And then everyone's attracted to them. It's like the rugby league equivalent of that.
It's the equivalent of wearing a wedding ring.
That's right. People come to you.
Now, I imagine, Brendan...
We are just timing it out beautifully, aren't we? We're just going, oh, yeah, we're not even flying under the radar. We just kind of like, you know, we got rid of the radar.
destroyed the radar. Now, given that you're in London, in Notting Hill, you've been there for a good part of the last year or so, is that correct?
Nearly 2 years.
Yeah, is this a thing that whenever... For example, when my glorious team, St. George, start to win and I've got something going on in my life, I always, like they say, don't change your shirt or don't get a haircut. Is this right that you will not come back to Australia because you're in that sort of superstitious mode at the moment to not sort of ruffle any of the successful feathers? And can I suggest that you're carrying around some sort of locket with a seaweed-encrusted toenail of Harold Holt with you everywhere you go?
Yeah, and it flashes on and off,
yes.
On and off. No, mate, I just go where Ben Barber goes. You know, he goes to the Northern Hemisphere, I go to the Northern Hemisphere. If Toddy's in the Northern Hemisphere, I'm in the Northern Hemisphere. Yeah. I also just did one of those 23andMe and me DNA tests. I found out that I'm 80% British, Irish, Scandinavian, Oceanic, so I'm not allowed back in Australia. I've been Nick Xenophoned, yeah, or whatever his name is. I've been Barnaby Joyce.
Yes, dual citizenship, yeah. So,
and I spoke to Barbara and Todd, and we've decided that we're not coming back to Australia until gays can get married.
Right.
Well, there you go.
Nice.
And that's the chat. That's the chat the three of us have.
You could be away for a while.
Yeah, we've got a decade to look forward to.
Even if Cronulla get to the grand final again.
Ben, Todd and I want to get married at the second grand final.
Great.
And
great.
If they won't let us, Jessica Malboy singing, yeah, you know, yeah, something like Love. What's that song from the Love Steve. Boat? Magic and New.
Love, Exciting and New. Come aboard, we're expecting you.
If Todd, Ben and I can get married, mm-hmm, at ANZ, we'll come back.
If Jack Jones is still alive, he sang that song. And is it too late, given it's a, I don't think they've mailed it out yet, do we need to add an extra thing? Are you in favour of polygamous marriage? Because I think you've got two hurdles to overcome to get you, Todd and Ben, together at the one time.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I don't know what polygamous means, but absolutely.
Yes, thank you.
You're talking to a polymath here, so let's understand.
I just like using the word poly in anything.
Brendan, while I've got you...
Like, yeah.
What are you doing in London right now? Let's just tell the masses that are hungry for some information about you.
I'm just doing a play called Yerma at the Young Vic, with Billy Piper, about a woman who goes crazy trying to have a baby. Mm. And then I've got a TV show coming up, and maybe a bit more of that medieval T-shirt,
yes,
TV show I'm allegedly in.
Yes.
Is that Vikings?
All faces. You know, that one. Yeah. Winter might be on its way, mm-hmm, I think they say. So, yeah, everything's going quite well. And, you know, I'm pretty much just barnstorming.
Barnstorming London. As Aussies do.
I felt like, you know, when I was Australia, my acting career was leaking points a bit. And then tried to come over here and I've been
barnstorming ever since.
And now you're a game manager in London, would that be right?
Mate, I've basically followed the Joel Monaghan model. Yes. And it's all just, you know, fruitful.
Yeah, it's going gangbusters. Fantastic stuff.
Isn't it?
I had some peanut butter on my toast this morning.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, no, it's lovely. It's a good town to be in. Notting Hill Carnival this weekend. And, you know, I wanted to come to a truly multicultural, incredible city where everyone's here, and I landed and then Brexit got voted in. So it's been a really nice welcome.
Right. Oh, what, have we got some music now? You beauty.
What's going on? Is this like I'm halfway through my speech at the Oscars and I'm getting taken off?
No, it's the Love Boat.
Exciting and new. And new.
Oh, wow.
Todd and Ben.
I can see it already. And
love.
And with probably the stadium announcer always does the things about come up and get the trophy. Steve Allen, he could actually preside over the nuptials.
Yes.
Again, I mean, you
get married and then that could begin the, you know, the first ever Western Australian rugby league team. Could be the three of us. You know, I buy the club, they play, captain coaching, all that kind of stuff. Like,
now, Brendan,
a big pink team.
You've been a regular guest on Fire Up, and we put forward an idea in public the other night that, and with the support from some heavy hitters in rugby league, that the Hall of Shame should finally be built, just like the museum at the NRL in Driver Avenue. Perhaps we take it off-site. We put it next to the light rail down the road at Moore Park, so it's got its own establishment. Todd Carney statue out the front, illuminated, changes colours. The kiddies can play in the water there. Inside, there'd be the grub wing, the absolute atrocity wing.
The Hoppawattie Library.
Is there anything that you would say would be a must for this Hall of Shame that would be an absolute bonus tourist draw card?
Cameron Smith!
Prince of Darkness!
Cameron Smith, everyone's saying, oh, he's an immortal, or oh, he keeps playing, or oh, what can't he do? I tell you what he can't do. Anything good for rugby league. He has single-handedly destroys everything that's good about rugby league.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a cheat, he's a manipulator, Him and the Melbourne Storm have single-handedly killed what I fell in love with in the 80s, which is the great game of rugby league. Cameron Smith, you are a disease. And you should be out the front
of the Hall of Shame
Memorial.
Yeah.
like some kind of Hitler-esque statue. Saying, I'm not in the Hall of Shame. Yeah. They wouldn't even let me in. I have to be out
the so are you quashing the rumours?
I have destroyed Rugby League.
And the next question is...
I am the greatest grub ever put on a small pair of shorts.
And a very presentable grub too, because he's fooled most of the people most of the time, hasn't he?
Yeah, but he looks like David Niven, like one of those 1940s movie stars, and all that stuff. You just have a look, just watch him. There should be a single camera on him. Yeah. Everything he does is disgusting.
Now, can I just say,
What
I want now is to see you
in
the same...
Even his name's disgusting.
I want to see you in the same room as your good mate Ben Mendelsohn.
Like,
you know how
octopus don't have DNA? He's like an octopus. So you can't trace him. Cameron Smith.
That's the wrestling.
Cameron Smith. You don't even fucking exist. You're a weird, diseased German robot.
How has that affected your relationship with Ben Mendelsohn, a Melbourne Storm supporter?
We're not talking.
Not talking. No, I thought so.
Are you quashing the rumour that you are actually slated to be playing Cameron Smith in President Goat My Life, the biopic of Cameron Smith? Are you actually ruling yourself out?
Look, it's down to me and Ben, but apparently they're thinking of me for Glenn Lazarus.
Can you do a cartwheel?
Pretty much the story of my career.
Yeah, yeah.
I get an inch away from Smith, and then I end up in Lazarus. I end up the brick with eyes.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's a character role, and that's where you win the awards.
That's true.
But they do say the most evil role you can play is usually the award-winning role, isn't it?
That's right.
That's right. You always want to be the guy that affects the plot, not the guy with no plot, like Cameron Smith, who doesn't even have a real person's name because he's an octopus.
No, it's science fiction gone wrong, hasn't it? Brendan, I would like to thank you very much for your contributions. What time of the morning is it in London right now in Notting Hill?
It's 12:45.
In the morning.
So, I came off stage a couple of hours ago, went to my agency summer party, because it's summer here now.
Okay.
So you imagine December when you're on the rocks off Bondi, budgie smugglers with a calippo. That's what's happening in London, but not really.
Yes, and so obviously you're still fired up given your post-performance.
Very fired up. I look forward to singing the Cronulla theme song early in October when we take the cup again off that octopus.
Thank you, Brendan. Lovely to talk to you. We'll speak to you soon.
On you, Brendan.
Love you guys.
See you, Brendan. Cheers.
Bye-bye. Back in a minute. Fire up.
Fire it up! Ready to go!
Fire it up!
Ready to go!
Fire it up!
Ready to go! Let's go change the world. Thank you, everybody. All right, who wants ice cream? Come get it.
Calling on her phone. I've got no time to be alone. Summer coming at me all the time. You better think I lose my mind. Cause I'm stranded on my own. Stranded far from home. All right. Stranded, I'm so far from home. Stranded, yeah, I'm on my own. You got to feel it alone, come on. Stranded, I'm so far from home. Stranded, yeah, I'm on my own. Stranded, you gotta leave me alone, cause I'm stranded on my own.
All along I've said this is the right thing for me to do. Stranded. By Ricky Stewart and also Cronulla Sharks. The timing's right for Ricky Stewart. Probably the first decision I've made for Ricky Stewart at the Cronulla Sharks for the last 3.5 years.
He's still making decisions for himself, though, isn't he?
Who is Ricky Stewart?
Who is Ricky Stewart? He is a chameleon. He's misunderstood.
He's a comedian.
He's a sensitive man, and he was very popular with the media the other night. We noticed
universally
him.
Loved.
Universally loved. Now, Canberra were the team, one of those teams earmarked for a final success this year. Shaky ground. What has gone wrong, Simon? Any ideas about what's happening down at
Jack?
I have no
Jack
idea.
Shit. Where is Simon?
I don't know.
That was that producer who came and tried to get us on the phone.
He's out.
Trouble.
He's out. Gone.
No,
forward.
There's only two switches. We hit the wrong switch.
Well, it's a good gamble. You got a 1 in 2 chance. 50, 50.
It's like playing 2 up. Sometimes you can lose a lot, regardless.
Look, we like to keep faith with our audience. They understand community radio has its flaws. They want to keep hearing those flaws every week. That's what they pay for.
It's certainly hearing them loud.
It's hard to remember to keep on making mistakes.
It is hard. It is hard work. Looking forward.
Yeah, Ricky Stewart and Cameron, mate, I do not know. But I do know that we've got to play him later tonight. And it's a minor concern because it sort of goes either way with Newcastle and Canberra. It can be a thrashing this way or that. So, you never know.
You got him earlier this season,
didn't
you?
Yeah.
Now, your team, Newcastle, jack shit. Newcastle, as we said, they're traditional working class miners, but something's changed. I mean,
we're digging out the coal with a spoon now, a wooden spoon.
Yes.
3 years running.
And sipping a Chardonnay at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Bloody Maguire. Rubbish.
The Hunter Valley. Yeah. You've got...
nothing corrupt. Nothing dodgy. No. Nothing with the Labour, like, guys in jail and none of that.
None of that stuff. Yeah, no.
Proper governance.
Yeah. So, how are things shaping up, given you've got the traumatic past of the Tinkler era, the Bennett era, the post-Johns, the, Silverchair have left town. You're now moving to this sort of certain territory, as I said, of sort of bourgeois, middle class, aspirational, all that sort of stuff. Well, where do you stand? I know the occasion you wear your high-vis whatever shirts, but where do you really stand these days?
Well, I don't know. I think there's still sufficient levels of dysfunction, violence, and poverty, and even corruption to keep everyone honest.
Keep your grounded,
so to speak.
Because I actually
it's not Wollongong.
I blame the phenomenon, summarised in the words of Day on the Green. I think that the pivot of the Newcastle economy from coal and steel making to tourism and wineries.
Yes.
And the concept of having rock and roll played at a winery offends me at every possible level.
That is what they're known for, aren't they? Like,
and so,
it's Boz Skaggs and Michael McDonald now, isn't it? It's not Silverchair anymore. Totally.
That's right. So, I did the research, like I did with the AFL and the rugby union. I went up to one of these.
Did you? On the green.
I saw the clouds.
Oh, yeah.
Blondie.
That was a good one.
And Cyndi Lauper.
Yeah. And Montaigne, was it?
Well, I wasn't there that early enough.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And
Alex Leigh.
Well, I like Alex. She's fantastic. Yeah. Let's go out tonight. But this concept of people of a certain age, as you walk to go to the toilet or get a drink, you're challenged by, in my instance, generally, women of a certain age. Am I prepared to dance in public to them to 80s disco in front of a crowd of several thousand people? Yeah. And it upset me greatly. Yeah. And it's that lack of fibre that has passed through to the Newcastle Knights, and they have got to do something about this. They've got to ban these winery rock and roll things.
Daytime activity.
Oh, well, it's never going to occur at night because, let's face it, sensible people are at home at night.
Yeah. Well, only bad things happen after 7 p.m.
Look what happened to Prince Frederick.
Well, how about that?
That's hilarious. Fact that police commissioner is now apologising to the Jade Dragon or whatever the name of the club
for
was.
For them having to break or have their rules broken.
Unbelievable. Enforce the rules and then say, no, we can break them then we want, and then go, sorry, we can't.
Isn't that a story that hasn't been told enough, though, about this strong through line between Prince Frederick and nightclubs?
Yes. Yeah.
Because,
how he met Mary.
That slip in. Yeah. You guys have probably both played there at some stage in your...
More carefree time. Time too, Chris, when you could just walk into a bar and it would stay until 3 o'clock in the morning quite happily, or even longer.
But it's just great to see him still out there.
Still out there.
And it turns out he's a massive Trap fan. You would never have realised about Frederick, but he's all over Trap.
Now, talking of your opposing force tonight, Canberra, science and rugby, they go hand in hand, don't they, Chris?
Well, they do. And, I mean, you talked about Canberra being on shaky ground, and you were possibly referring to the fact that there's still 4 points out of the 8 with 2 games left.
I was. I had no other ideas in mind.
But the Australian University wanted to establish how shaky. Last weekend at the Canberra game, where the Milk Wars were won by Oak over Canberra Milk by the tune of 26 points to 22, Penrith beating Canberra, researchers from the Australian National University set up a seismometer during the game at the stadium. ANU Professor Malcolm Sambridge said that machine normally measures earthquakes will record the vibrations from the howling green machine fans.
You'd have to say that scientists have a leisurely life, don't they? If they've got time to go and register a football stadium for earthquake activity.
And Jackson, why do you think they chose the Raiders in particular for this sort of measurement?
Is it that they are also full of hot air and there is bonus points, bonus quakes?
They want to see the interaction between the hot air generated by the public service and the surrounding land. And of course, the very particular phenomenon.
It's a climate change issue.
It is very much a climate change issue, and it's also very strongly connected to the phenomenon that is the Viking clap. They wanted to see whether that was going to generate an acoustic wave, which they also call a sound wave for the scientists out there.
And did it manifest at all during that loss?
Well, basically, what they came up with is there's no need to be concerned, simply because not enough energy goes into the ground to cause much shaking, which is a good thing, not a bad thing.
Can I move on to
science makes its appearance back in the Daily Telly, I assume.
But, and the overall conclusion from the ANU researchers is that the Canberra Raiders will not be giving the premiership a shake this year.
Gotcha, okay. But what they will be giving a shake is bad behaviour, Chris.
Right.
Now, usually, as they say, the fish rots from the head. Correct?
They say that. I don't know why they say it. I'll take their word for it.
I've never tested that.
Yeah.
Where are the signers when you lose them?
I'll give you a lot of money if you can tell me who the chairman of the Canberra Raiders is. But anyway.
Well, let's go one step below. Let's go to the coach.
Oh, there you go.
Now, Canberra Raiders banned a member, and this is a fan member, and a paid-up member, of course, for trying to spit on referee Ashley Klein. Now, this has been a hot topic recently, and not something that we haven't seen before. We've seen urine tipped on referees. We've seen... Bottles, etc., etc. Now, Ashley Klein was walking off and a fan leaned forward and spat. What happened next, Chris?
Well, in doing so, it was at half time, so they hadn't even lost the game at this particular point in the stage. So the fan was getting his review in early.
Yeah, getting a bit of influence in.
Yeah, that's right. The loogie, a little bit like in the Seinfeld episode, did a little bit of a left turn and caught a security guard. Which of all the people you don't want to spit on, you don't want to spit on the security guard who's actually standing right next to where you are.
And visual show, he said, I've got your number.
Yeah, he does.
I know who you are. Yeah. Right.
Ashley Klein was visibly shaken, unlike the Viking clap shaking the earth. But Matt Moylan from Penrith Panthers thought the whole thing was hilarious and subsequently pulled his hamstring in the second half, which was a little bit of schadenfreude writ large there, a bit of karma for Matty Moylan.
Now, just to tell you that I'm not completely ignorant of these things, Don Ferner... Yes. Chairman of Canberra Raiders.
There you go.
I tell you what, I really thought at the Parramatta loss to Newcastle the week before that those refs were going to get lynched. It was I'd never heard such a crazy, and that was in ANZ. You know, there's just this roar of hatred for Parramatta, right?
In the place where atmosphere goes to die,
mate. It was something else.
Wow.
The most handsome referee in rugby league, by the way, Henry Parramatta. And the thing that I love his personal signature. Yeah. Whenever
is he more handsome than Cameron Smith?
Well, come on, let's. Okay. He's only a referee. Okay. I mean, it's a different measure.
Yep.
But what I love about Perenari has his own idiosyncratic when he goes, I have a try. He actually does the T with a fist rather than with a pointed hand. I love that little signature flourish.
Okay. So the Raiders will not tolerate antisocial behaviour, says Foon, at home matches and pride ourselves on providing a safe environment for families. Well, Ricky Stewart. Can I just say Ricky Stewart?
But that's why they've moved him back to the coach's box. Okay. They've reviewed the safety procedures. It's not safe to have Ricky down by the sideline.
Now, the Raiders equate this with passion. Josh Papali, who we know is a passionate man.
Please arrest me.
The fans are being passionate. He said, spitting clearly crossed the line. They have this unique atmosphere of the Viking clap. But he said, fans need to show some restraint with their passion. Ricky Stewart, anybody? Restraint, passion? I personally know if I was a fan myself, what I'd want is my team to win, but probably I wouldn't go that far overboard, says Josh. Probably. You know, there's a little bit of wriggle room there, I'd say. He says, there are no immediate plans to cover the walkway, but venues Canberra will review all safety and security requirements within a realm. That is good news.
Knock it down. Start again. Stadia. We need more of them across the state.
Yep. Just as long as Don Ferner doesn't write like Marina Goh wrote the memo to fans after they were booing Woodsy. Please don't boo our players. I hope they haven't sent one around. Please don't spit at players, because the next visiting team will need to wear raincoats.
Yeah. We're going to come back and talk about another team and another leader, Politis, King Politis. And just
what I want to ask you guys is, when you see this sort of behaviour, does it fire you up? I mean.
Beat on the brat with the baseball bat. Beat on the brat with the baseball bat.
Celebrating punk music in all its glory this morning on Fire Up, and we have Jack Shit, who loves the odd bit of war on guitar.
Oh yeah,
a bit of spitting. A bit of finger to the establishment, to the man.
Full fist.
Yes. Gobbing, they used to call it, didn't they? Gobbing.
Yes, now talk about putting to the man. People power, there's been a big vote in the eastern suburbs this week. It's people power at its best all over Waverley Bowling Club. The bolos are... The inner west get bolos.
Yeah.
We get bolos.
Sacred territory.
Sacred territory. Music, you know, barefoot bowls,
exactly.
Good food, community.
It's Australian.
Now, you go to Marrickfield, you go to Peterson, it's all good. Now, what happened at Birrell Avenue, where the Waverley Bowling Club has been around for, I think, since 1879 or something ridiculous.
Predates rugby league.
They were forced virtually into a merger because they were struggling. 450 members. You know, bowling clubs are doing it tough generally. But the East just hadn't quite caught on. So, the Chooks... Boo! Saw an opportunity. They said, "Why don't you merge with us? We'll look after you. We'll be the parent figure here.
Oh yeah.
We'll give you a new kitchen. We'll give you a new facility.
Grooming them. They were grooming them.
We'll polish up the photo of the Queen on the wall.
Yeah.
There, you know.
Yeah.
New velvet on the stage.
Yeah.
New microphones.
Yeah.
We might even get you new grass if you're lucky. You know.
AstroTurf.
They thought, great. We're protected. Nothing's going to touch us now. But lo and behold, Politis.
Yes, Don Politis. And first of all, can I simply say hello, Don Politis.
Hello, Don.
Our great respects to you and your extended family.
The gifts are in the mail for your family and children for Christmas. Yeah.
We give you Jude reference.
We do. But he had this idea, didn't he, Chris, that he was going to relocate the bowling club down to the golf club at South Bondi.
Yeah, a state-of-the-art golf and bowls facility, whatever that means.
I think he hit
AstroTurf,
he hit the fact that that is actually public land granted by the local council with only a lease for another year, so there was no promise that it was going to go on beyond a year anyway, and then it was going to be put to the vote. How many thousand people for East were there?
41,000 Leagues Club members, yes.
And how many for the Bolo?
450.
So
can I call this a David and Goliath story?
Thank
you.
You can. I was waiting for that.
And who says the media doesn't speak the truth? Well, Jared Hayne says that, so it must be right now.
Yes, Waverley Bowling Club President Patrick Fitzsimon said the resolutions pertaining to the club's merger with North Bondi were substantially defeated. Anybody who could even think of destroying it to cash in on what you would go for next to nothing, it's ridiculous. I think people in the area realised that, and that's why they came out and voted against it. It's a win for people power. Don was sent tail between his legs, packing.
And can I just say hello again to Don Politis and his family? We do send all due respect.
He did say that. He's very disappointed.
well, the grand plan, of course, Jack Shit, was a childcare facility, which was essentially a baby race training academy, because there's every idea in the Sun Hill.
Leaking piss, not leaking points.
Correct. next to an aged care facility.
Yes.
A leaking piss, not leaking points.
Exactly.
Right. Which is all well and good, I mean, because these are the vulnerable sections of society who deserve our support. But where is the middle-aged care facility?
Yes.
Where is the nightclub, for example? Imagine a nightclub where people...
Wait a sec, isn't that in the Hunter Valley?
Well,
in the glorious outdoors?
Day of the Green, watching rock and roll.
Yeah.
Or, you know, actually, in fact... The idea of having a nightclub for the over 40s in
Sydney... Day club.
Is pretty much...
Who would even thought that?
Who would think of that? Yeah. It's pretty much the same as putting rock and roll up in a winery.
Yeah, so we know that the cashed up hipsters have gone up coast and out west and wherever else they go, Katoomba, etc. And that left them vulnerable in Bondi.
Ulladulla.
We all thought greed was good in Bondi. Apparently not. Now, it's people power. There's still some forces of good in the world today.
And you know why that happened?
Right.
Because we publicised the story.
Yes, we
Because we... Unlike the Jared Hayne media, do speak the truth. Right. We don't just sell newspapers. We don't sell anything.
Apparently nobody loves Robbie Farah.
Hey, Hummer.
Hey. Hey.
Is the voices for the yes we do?
Yeah, just tell me. No one loves Robbie Farah. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
Except Lebanon.
Well, Lebanon is the place where all good hookers go to die. Yes. Robbie Farah, Michael Lisha.
Can I just say, one of my great loves, there's been an award ceremony this week. The winner of the Hooker Salute for 2017, you may know the salute when they're exasperated, they can't believe what's happening, and they throw their arms up in the air.
Yeah.
I mean, Dean Young was a fine
exponent. In Cameron Smith's instance, eight arms.
Yeah, Isaac Luke is one of the best in the business. Yeah.
Bedsy was good at it.
But this year, talking to the Chooks again, Jake Friend takes out the award.
There you go.
For the most exasperated hooker salutes of the year goes to our man, Jake Friend.
I have, you know, Grandpa Simpson, he's always writing off letters of complaint to the press. Stephen has become a little bit like that. You can be at home, you know, enjoying The Bachelor or something, you know, some sort of quality program like that, and the football's on, and suddenly I get a flurry of texts from Ferris about the behaviour of Jake Friend and the hook salute and all that sort of thing, ranting against the changes.
Now, Jack, you're a lover of league. You get a bit obsessed. Something grabs your attention, right?
Luxuriate.
When's that coming out?
The 21st century. Yeah. It'll be in the stores for Christmas this year.
So I do obsess. I go, did he just do that again? Did he just do that again? And what's right? It's like a Tourette's reaction, you know what I mean? Wee, wee.
This is true. I was seriously in the middle of The Bachelor last night because, let's face it, who would be watching Parramatta, which, as Brendan said, is not a team, versus the Broncos, who everybody hates, and still, Bronco Reg, if you're out there, call in.
He's in fetal position, he says.
By the way, Bronco Reg's shameless attempt to curry favour with Yvonne Sampson by getting her a schooner at this rugby league thing at the Jets.
I had to turn my head.
It was embarrassing. But I'm trying to enjoy The Bachelor, trying to work out why Jen is in meltdown, and suddenly I'm getting texts from Ferris, well, that was clearly a forward pass. The penalty count is 7-1, the fix is in. I don't know what he's talking about.
Now, we're wrapping up now. This is Fire Up for another week. We're heading into the pointy end, the business end of the season pretty soon.
I'm scared. You got a tip? I don't know what happens after this.
You got a tip, Jackson?
I'll tip Para.
There you go.
Okay. Now, you got a tip, Chris?
Look, the only team, the grand final that we all want to see is the Storms versus the Storms, because the only team that can beat Melbourne is Melbourne.
Well, can I? You want my tip?
Please.
We've all heard of Stephen Bradbury.
Yes.
Right, St. George's Stephen Bradbury. Everybody falls over, they go sailing through and win triumphantly.
I'm not a betting man, but I think the odds would be good.
Okay, thank you very much.
So tune in again next week when we invite a veritable breadline of nobodies and wannabes to flesh out another rip-snorting roundup of rugby league shenanigans, slander and smut right here at the home of radio's most fatuous footy confab. Fire!